go to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament and go to chapter 11. So go to Hebrews 11. And when you found it, put your bulletin right there or your Bible ribbon or something and mark it, because you're going to be getting there in just a minute. And I wanted to find it first so we didn't spend a lot of time right in the middle of our time here to look for it. So go to Hebrews 11 and put your bulletin right there or some other way mark it. And once you found that, now go ahead and with that marked, turn all the way back now to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. If you've been traveling with us, you're aware of the fact that we go through the Bible around here. And we are indeed in the book of Genesis. We kicked off with the account of the creation, and we've gone through the accounts of Adam and Eve and Abel and Cain and Noah and the ark and all those things, Tower of Babel. And now we arrive at chapter 12 of Genesis. So we got those two places all marked out and ready to go. Good. Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In these verses, we have what is known as the call of Abram. Now, Abram is also known as Abraham. He'll be named that later. And so if you hear me use either one of those names, same guy, I'll probably slip and interchange the names once in a while, but it's the same guy. This is the call of Abram. Now, most, if not all of us, know something about Abram or Abraham. For he is known as the father of all those who by faith follow God. So we hear Father Abraham, and he's the father of faith and all. Well, your Hebrews passage we're going to look at in just a moment, it's going to tell us some things about Abram that's going to add to our understanding this morning. So now, with your Bible ribbon in Genesis 12, because that we will get back to, go now over to Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews 11, where you just marked out a minute ago. And that's going to set some things before us as we kind of set the table here about what God would have us learn from Abram or Abraham. Hebrews 11, we're going to jump into verse 8. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So in Abram now, we have set before us this one who God is going to call out. And what we see is the beginning really of a chosen nation, Israel. And of course, through that will come the line that will lead us right down to the Messiah. And so we've reached that point now. We meet Abram and all that's going to come out from this one who descendants will be as many as the sands and all. Now, this morning, as we indeed do face a new year, and that causes us to kind of think about new beginnings and all, I think it's very appropriate and awesome in God's design that we've come to this time. Because if you think about new beginnings, Abram definitely faced one. And so I believe God would have us consider the call of Abram as we consider his call upon us. I introduced our time together this morning by reading from Hebrews, because Hebrews looks back and it sets before us really what I suspect are how we most of us think about Abram or Abraham. This father of faith and how he was just did all these things God called him to do and all. So I think it's good we began with that. And justly so that we think about him that way. He is indeed known as a man of faith, a man who answered the call of God. But do you know that it wasn't all that smooth getting there? That's what I believe God would have us consider this morning. This morning, I'm going to suggest that just as God has a call for Abraham, He has a call for you and me. Every one of us has a calling from God. Now, upon hearing that, some of us very well might respond to that statement, well, yeah, I can see where God called Abram. I mean, he was a great man of faith. No wonder God wanted to use Abram. But pastor, there's a big gap between someone like Abram and someone like me, someone might be tempted to say. Well, again, it's true that Abram became known as and was indeed a man of faith. But I want us to consider some things about this call and his response. Abram makes a journey of growth in faith. We're going to watch his faith develop. It's going to be tested and tried and developed through various things. For I want us to see, and I suspect we will indeed see, that Abram and you and I, we're a whole lot alike. I've called our time together this morning the call of Abram. Let's pray. Father, as we have gathered, we're thinking about celebrations still of Christmas and your goodness and your love, and thank you for that. And Lord, we know that every day your mercies are new, and there's things you want to do every day. And so, Lord, help us. And Father, I do pray you would speak to our hearts, challenge our hearts about the plans you have for each of us, the call you have for each of us. Father, I suspect there are some that have lost sight of that. Maybe something gotten in the way of it. Whatever it might be, Lord. But Lord, let today be a day of refreshment and encouragement and challenge to seek and discover and walk in this awesome, awesome plan, this calling you have for every believer. So Lord, we look to you now. And I pray, Lord, we'd leave here just, well, as those who are ready to respond to what you're about to show us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, turn back to your Genesis passage, because that's where we're going to land in and camp in this morning. Genesis 12. Go back to Genesis 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. The call of Abram. Now, to continue to add to our understanding of all this, I want us to listen to what Stephen had to say in Acts 7, 2 and 3. You want to turn there. But in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, Stephen says, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. So as we go further into this, we see here, Stephen helps us understand something. Sometime while Abraham, still Abram, was living in Ur, the Chaldees and all, God called Abram, get out. I got something I want to do, and you got to get out of where you are for me to be able to do this. So, this journey in faith, the first thing we see here was a call. The call of Abram begins with a call to get out. And so it is with each one of us. First of all, of course, God calls all people to repent, to get out of their lost condition, to get out of their rebellion towards God, to get out of sinful lives, and to receive the forgiveness that He's offering. Receive that gift we just celebrated yesterday. God calls all to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins they need. So if you've never made that decision, that's where you're at right now today. You need to get out of that lost state and come into that state of being saved and knowing the Lord and all. But right now, I really want to address this towards, and I believe it'd be addressed in particular, towards those of us who've made that decision for the Lord. You've received Christ as Savior. You see, Abram is a perfect example of the call of God upon the believer's life. Part of our answering God's call for us either has or will probably mean the coming out of something. And if you've walked with the Lord long, you probably have heard that call, felt that nudge, hey, I want you to get out of that thing. I want you to come away from that thing. Separate yourself from that old life or whatever it is. But for the child of God, it begins with a coming out of that old life, those old ways. So this morning in love, I'd ask you to begin right there. What might that be for you this morning if this indeed applies? Be open to God showing you if there is something you need to come out of that you might receive all He has for you. You're saved, but you may be even wondering, how come I don't hear from Him much? It doesn't seem like He's leading me. I don't seem like I'm discovering all that He'd have for me. I've come out of, but I haven't come into all He has. We got to begin right there. Come out of, separate yourself from those things that might be holding you back. You see, there will be a land for Abram. There will be a covenant. There will be an inheritance. There will be a blessing. But first, there was to be a coming out of where he was at before he could come into all those things that God has for him. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, he says, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, he says. But first, get out. Then comes, I will show, I will make, I will do these things. But first, you got to get away from, get out of where you're at. They're in the way. They're blocking my work. God often waits to show us the next step until we do the first. He often waits to do the next thing until we walk in, experience, take that first step. Too often we say, God, show me the whole journey, then I'll decide if I'll take it. He says, no, that's not faith, that's sight. And this whole thing's going to glorify me, God says. And so I want you to take the first step. And in Abram's case, get out, get away from. And so that's the case for us so often. What was wrong with where Abram was? Why not just stay where he was? God, can't you work where I am? Can't I stay in the same place with all the influence of the world going on and all these things happening in my life, all these choices you wouldn't have, but can I just stay here and you can do your work here? Why couldn't Abram stay where he was? Joshua 24:2 tells us. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. So one thing was, the people where Abram was were serving other gods. The place where he was being influenced by, he was surrounded by things of this world, things of other gods, pagan things going on. And God had better for him. And God wanted to do a work in him and through him. So he said, you got to get out of there for me to do what I want to do. Because when it comes right down to it, Abram had to get out because God wanted to do something new. And it involved a new place. In his case, a new place to be able to do it. Sometimes God calls us to come out of where we are because that place, with its influences, whatever that might be, are direct hindrances to His work in us and through us. And so He'll speak to us and say, get out of there. Separate yourself from that influence. You can't hang out there. Can't be with them, whatever it is. Because I got better for you. Friendships, perhaps, that are holding us back. Priorities that are wrong. Whatever it might be. So we must come out of that place for God to really work in our lives. For all believers, there has to be that separation from this world. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world anymore. It's not to be what sets the pace and what we're all about and what we're basing our decisions in. So for the believer, there must be that separation from the world if we're really going to experience God's best, God's full work in our lives. Now remember, the call to come out may indeed mean a change in geography. It did for Abram, and it may mean that for you. But much more common is a change in us right where we are. A coming out of, a separating from those influences that aren't of God. They're compromising things. They're holding us back. So, how did Abram do with this getting out thing? God says, Abram, get out of there and go over here. How did Abram do with it? Did he go right over to Canaan, settle down, and live there happily ever after? No, not exactly. Look at verses 31 and 32, the two verses prior to what we already read. Read Genesis 11:31-32. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. What's this tell us? He left Ur, headed for Canaan, but stopped in the middle at a place called Haran, or Haran. What an interesting thing. Came out, but didn't go fully in to all God had. Got out of the old land, but stopped in Haran instead of going to where God wanted him. Now, Abraham stops there until his father dies. But he represents this idea. He came out of the old place, but then stopped for coming into the new. The ties of family can be strong. And in his case, he waited there till his father died. But it can happen to us also. There can be ties around us. Well, just wait until. Lord, I'll fully surrender. Lord, I'll obey. I'll go when this is set. This is all through with here. Or that's all arranged just right. Or whatever it can be. The ties of friendship. The ties of finances. The ties of human reasoning. They hold us back from coming into all God would have because we don't see how He's going to do it. And I don't understand this. And, well, God, let me get this done first. And let me handle that then. And they're holding Him back and they hold us back. There are many things that can come along and cause us to settle short of the calling God has for us. And how sad, isn't it? How very sad to get out but not get in. But to be out there in that limbo place, to be in the middle, what a rough, sad place to be spiritually. So I'd ask you rhetorically, but to consider, is there a chance that's where you're at today? You've come out of a lot of that junk. You got saved and you felt the Lord saying, you got to let some things go. Yeah, I can't be going that place anymore. I can't hang out there. And so you come out of some of that stuff and all that was going on. But for some reason, you stop short of getting into all that God has for you. Because faith can be scary. Trusting God can be scary. And, well, God, I can understand how you don't want me hanging out with them or something. So, yeah, I'll get away. But wait a minute, this full surrender thing, that's when it gets scary. And maybe that's the case for you. Maybe it got kind of scary out there. Maybe there was a relationship that was going to suffer if you totally got into all God had for you. Whatever it might be. But now you sit in Haran. You sit in this in-between land. But notice this. God does not speak to Abram again until Abram settles in the land God has for him. It can be a spiritually dry place in the Harans of our lives, that in-between land. What happens next? Genesis 12, we read verses 1 through 3. Pick it up in verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Okay, now over there in Canaan, the man of faith has come into the land, and now he lives happily ever after, right? No, not exactly. Look at verse 10 of chapter 12. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. What's this tell us? Again, we see Abram doesn't exactly shine here. For now, his faith is being tested. Times got hard in the place where God called Abram to be. He went down to Canaan. Okay, God, you got me here now. And you know what? It's looking kind of tough. Some tough times have come along. A famine has come along, God. God, I thought you wanted me here. But look at this. So Abram goes down to Egypt. Now, what does Egypt in Scripture always represent? It's a type of the old life. Just as we'll see Israel come out of Egypt into what God would have, Egypt is always an example of a type of the old life. It represents the world. It represents the old way of doing things, the world's way of doing things, your life before God got hold of you. Abram got in a jam. Things are looking tough. He doesn't see what, wait a minute, things, this isn't going good. And he went to Egypt for help. Meaning, and the type is, going back to what you used to do. Going back to the old people, the old things, the old friendships, the old decisions, the old lifestyles, to somehow get some strength. Get some I got to find an answer somewhere. See, maybe this is speaking to someone here today. Maybe this is where you're at. Maybe you were cooking right along in God's, you know, in answering God's call for you. But a famine of sorts came into your life. Some situation came along that really shook you up. Things got stretched. Things got tight. Things looked rough up ahead. And so you found yourself going back to Egypt. Meaning, you went with the old way of thinking. You went to the old way of dealing with the stress. Because maybe you got to where God would have you, but it's lonelier there. Well, I'm going back to the old friendships or whatever it might be. But I wonder if some aren't there today. Maybe you're in an Egypt of sorts right now. Gone to the world for help. Doing it the world's way. Going with the old way of doing things. Well, let's look at what happens next. See, Egypt is not a good place for Abram, and it's not a good place for us. Look at verses 11 now. We just read how he went down to Egypt. Verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." Interesting how we can rationalize. Tell you what, if they find out you're my wife, they're going to kill me. So just tell them it's for your sake. Just tell them that you're my sister, and then I'll live and we'll both be okay. You know, we can rationalize. But Egypt is not a good place to be for him or us, and we see what happens here. He flat out asked his wife to lie for him. And why? To save his own skin. He's compromising now. He's lying now. Again, Egypt is not a good place for Abram, nor is it for you and me. Well, what happens next? For the sake of time, I just explain. In chapter 13, we find Abraham. He comes back to the land, finally. He comes back to the land God had called him to begin with. When he gets there, he finally parts company with his nephew, Lot. After all that, then God speaks to Abram again. Chapter 13, go to verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." After Abram was free from Ur, after he was free from the influence of the family and all, after he was free from Egypt, the old life, the world's ways, the old systems and all, then God says, "Here is what I have for you." Amazing love. Amazing love. even with all those failures of stopping short, going over to Egypt, lying, compromising, all those things, after all that, the call is still there. And today, brothers and sisters, the same is true for you. Your faith has been less than perfect. There's been struggles and stumbles along the way. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Hear God speaking to you. Just as it was for Abram, so it is for us. The call is still there. But what will we do about it is the awesome challenge for us as we begin this new year and all. Now, does Abram live happily ever after at this point? No, not exactly. He will try the passing his wife off as his sister thing another time. He will try to fulfill God's promise to Abraham to have children by sleeping with his wife's handmaid instead of trusting God. No, there will be more very human moments for Abram. Which steers us towards and brings us to this is what I believe God would have us think about this morning. God, of course, knew Abram totally. God knew about Abram and what Abram would be doing and the stopping short and the going to Egypt. God knew about all that because he is God when he first called Abram. See, this isn't a lesson in perfection. He's going to be the father of faith. God's grace, this is God's grace working on a man and the development of having confidence in God, of trusting God in spite of circumstances and all. So God knew that Abraham would doubt, that he'd fail. God knew there would be a Haran in Egypt and all, and God still called him. And so, this morning, the same for each of us. God knows you and me inside out. I always marvel at that. I mean, what I know about myself is horrible enough. And yet, none of us can really even know our own hearts. But he does. He knows you and I totally inside out. He knows our tomorrows. He knows our yesterdays. He knows what I've done and what I will do. He knows it all. He knows the doubts. He knows the struggles. He knows the Egypt of our lives. He knows the Harans. But still, he calls us. He saves us, not to put us on the shelf, but because he has a plan. He wants to work in and through every one of our lives. That's an amazing thing. He's not down on us. Even when we struggle, his call still stands. Did you start out strong but stop short in Haran? The call remains. Did you get out of the old land? But then a famine came, a circumstance you didn't understand, you found yourself going to Egypt. The call still remains. This call isn't based upon our ability. God is seeking availability. That as he works, he would indeed get all the glory. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, it tells us. And so he wants to develop that faith. His call, as it was to Abram in the end, his call to us is what? Have confidence in God. Will you have faith in God in all that you go through? Will he find his... And that allows him to work this work that we will indeed go into all that he has as we step by step, trusting, looking up, not needing to see the whole journey and all. Did Abram blow it? Yep. And more than once. But God still wanted to use him and bless him, and the same is true for us as we face a new year. You know, we turn a calendar, talk about a new year. God doesn't need us to turn a calendar page to do a new work. He just wants us to let him. He made us new creations. He's doing a new work. Let him. Let him take you into all that he has for you. He has a calling, a plan for each one of us. God uses very imperfect vessels like you and me. Anybody glad that he does? Some of you. Okay. I kind of catch some people off guard. Oh. Did God forget what Abram was like when he kept calling him? God knows the future, but did he just like forget that? No, God doesn't forget, he forgives. And he'll forgive us of our stopping short, our going to Egypt and all. It's time for us to learn those things get us nowhere good. The settling, the looking around, doing it the old way, we're ripping ourselves off. So his call remains, come on, come into all that I have. Just come into a place of availability, yieldedness, surrender. And he will speak, and he will lead, and he will guide. What does he say to us? Let's just get back on track. Just get back on track. For some, that'll mean getting back to basics with him. For some, it'll mean getting back to where you started. Getting back to where you were before you headed off to Egypt. For some, it'll mean getting out of Haran, that halfway land where you're out of the old but not into all that God has for you. Different decisions for depending where we're, how this applies. But the awesome thing is we get to do it. His call is to do it. These things are written for our blessing, our edification. And that's part of the message here through Abram. Do you read here, he called Abram, but then Abram stopped short. God says, you know, just forget it. Onto the scrap heap with you. No. What about when he goes to Egypt? Oh, surely then God says, oh, forget it. Onto the scrap heap with you. No. Nowhere do we read that. And we don't hear that about you either. You are not on the scrap heap of life because you stopped short, because you went back, because you've... God's just saying, come on. He's only a prayer away. Let's get back on track. Get out of Egypt. Get out of Haran. Come into all that I have for you. Just obediently, faithfully having confidence in him. And don't let these circumstances keep dictating the decisions. And don't let others keep having that power in your life. Only God deserves that place in our life. So what's our part? Get up. Get out. Keep moving in the Lord. Go forward in the Lord. Press on in the Lord. Remember, Abram didn't know where he was going when he started. It directly tells us that. He just knew he was called to go. Again, don't ask God to show you the whole journey and then you decide if it's worth taking. Just take the next step that he's pointing you to. This morning, won't you take that step? The invitation by God is that you would do just that. Now, this may not be where you're at this morning. Maybe you realize you're called, that you have a sense of that call, and you're walking right in the middle of it. Awesome. Keep it up. Keep going on in Him, pressing on, but just praise the Lord, just keep it up. But if you are stuck, if you have lost the sense of God's call in your life, why not let today be the day that you begin anew? That you come out of the middle land, you come out of the old stuff, whatever it might be, and say, Lord, help me just start now, just walk by faith, step by step. And he'll show you. He'll lead you because his sheep hear his voice. But pray, Lord, just let me get rid of that stuff that's blocking it and just get me back on track with you. God didn't drag Abram out of Ur. He drew him out. God doesn't drag us out. He draws us. He draws us with that same love we celebrated yesterday. That love that caused God to send his son. Because of the love of Christmas, because of the love that we celebrate at Easter, because of the crucifixion, because of the empty tomb, all that same package, it all demonstrates his love. And that's the love that draws us. Draws us out of the old life. Draws us into salvation. Draws us from settling and compromise, because every time we do those things, it blocks his love, it rips us off. But his love is still there. He still calls and draws us. He's drawing us now. God works in us and through us in this awesome way of his mercy, his grace, his love drawing us. Is he drawing you? Is he nudging you? Is he speaking to you? Come on, let this be a year of availability. Let this be just day by day, a day where it's you and me doing awesome things here. As they work in you and through you. No more stopping in the middle. No more going where you shouldn't. No more looking around, but looking up. What an invitation. This morning, Let God draw you afresh and anew with His awesome love. Genesis 12:1. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I'm going to invite our worship team up to wrap us up this morning. If you're in need of prayer this morning, our prayer partners will be right here by the prayer room, and they'd count it a privilege to pray with you. Don't leave wishing you'd gotten prayer, but instead go get it. As we get ready to start a new year, let's all make sure that we're all about what God would have us to be, individually and as a fellowship. Again, not looking around, not stopping short, but just maybe finding us a full surrender, a yieldingness. Abram was called to a life of confidence in God, a life of faith. That's what he's an example of. And as he was called to those things, so are we. Every believer, we can know God in that way and walk in that faith fellowship with Him. Again, I just pray that this will be a year in which we're all available to God. Father, that You would love us like this is more than we can take in.